Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. How y'all doing? Amen. It's a good church here, huh? It's always nice when you walk into a church that isn't your own and it feels like home. So can we just act like I'm home? Amen. Me and my husband again, Aaron and Aaron Hankins from Alexandria, Louisiana. We're happy to be here. We've known your pastors a while. I don't know how long, but good while. That's what y'all say in the South, right? It's been a good bit. I am originally from Detroit, Michigan. So being in Louisiana is a little bit different for me, but it's becoming easier. Hello, family, right there. Hi, y'all. Amen. And so we're glad to be here. My kids said hello, and I know I have one little girl especially who wishes she was here with us, but maybe next time. Amen. And so when we were getting ready for this trip, I was praying and I was talking to the Lord. And this is really the way he put it to me. He said, I want you to go ahead and act like you're home. I said, all right, Holy Ghost, that's fine. How many know it's better to go with him than try to do something he didn't tell you to do? And so what I'm going to share with you tonight is something that's been on my heart for quite a while, and it's actually something that we've really been focusing on at our church in Alexandria, and our theme this year is Connect 2013, connecting to God together. Amen. And how many know it's important who you connect to? Amen. And to what you connect to? Amen. If you've ever had a good Holy Ghost connection, you know it. And if you ever have had a connection that was from the opposite of the Holy Ghost, you know that one wasn't good either, right? And so we're going to talk about having a heart for the house today, this evening. And earlier this year, we were at a meeting in Florida, and I heard a minister say this. He said, I don't go to church so that I can be a Christian. I go to church because I am a Christian. And he followed it up and said, and that is what Christians do. Christians go to church. So how many of you know that, you know, we have a lot of people who say this, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. That's right. But Jesus did tell us to go. And the scripture did tell us to go. And all I know is this. When I come to church, I am never sorry when it's over. I will be honest, we pastor, and there have been some Sunday mornings I have thought to myself, I would sure rather stay in my bed today. Can you believe a pastor would ever think such a thing? And I sure did, especially if it's raining outside. And if you were from, you know, South Louisiana, you would understand it's raining outside all the time. And so there have been times I wanted to be home, but once I get there, I am always happy that I'm there. Amen. And recently I was reading a book. It was called this, Privilege of Life in the Local Church. The Privilege of Life in the Local Church. Now, I've never really thought about it that way before and in that terminology, but that word privilege really just stuck out to me in a way that it never had before. And so I looked it up, and the word privilege just means this, a special right, an advantage, or an immunity granted. It's only available to one person or one group of people. It is also favor and position. And so there is a privilege, immunity from the way this world does things when we come together in the house of God that is not available anywhere else. And how many would agree with me tonight? This is the house of God. It was built for his glory. It was built unto him so that we could come together, learn about him, teach about him, share him. And it shouldn't just stay in the house. I just heard your pastor talk about how it's going out into the community. But what do we need to do? We need to get them here. Amen. I know this service is a newer service for y'all, right? And so I do think this is a good crowd for a Saturday night. But I'll tell you this, if you know what a good thing is going on, this place will be packed out. Because people will be running to get to the house of God because it's so important. And I do realize this as well. How many of you have children? So you remember when they were babies, right? Remember coming to church? And have you ever had this happen when you get to the nursery and no one's there and here you stand with your diaper bag, car seat, and baby? Do you start sweating? I start sweating. I start getting nervous. Oh, where is the nursery people? You know, and thank God we've done so much better. But I'll just tell you this. Those nursery people play a real big, important role in what happens at the church. How many of you have ever been looking for a parking spot and you finally saw somebody with a flasher wheeling you in? Oh, there's my parking spot. Let me go get in my parking spot. Or you get to the back door and somebody holds the door open for you. You got to use the restroom. Where's the restroom when you were a visitor? Somebody can tell you where it is. What is that? It's the family helping each other in the house of God. So we have to realize without every individual member in the house, we couldn't do what we're called to do in the local church. I got to tell you, as a pastor, I'm really happy kids aren't crying the whole time that my husband's trying to preach. It's not like that in every church. I've been to them. And I've got three kids, and I'll tell you this, I'm really thankful for children's ministry too, because I get tired of pinching ears and pinching thighs on the front row. Please be quiet. Amen. And so, you know, I was just thinking back earlier this year, and I was thinking about all the big moments in my life. And of course, when I got saved, I was in Michigan, but I got saved in a church. How many got saved inside of a church building? How many of y'all? Yeah, a lot of you. A lot of people have been saved outside the church, and that's great, but I was baptized inside the church. I was filled with the Spirit inside of the church. I was sick with Crohn's disease, and in one of my first meeting I ever came to at the church that we pastor at now, I went up to the altar. Brother Hagin was at the church and preached about healing, and I received my healing in the church. Now listen, I was not a new believer, but I was new to what we would call the full gospel word of faith movement, and I needed it. And I am very confident to say this. It was not my super spiritual faith that received that healing for me that day. It was the corporate faith of all the people in that church who were believing God for somebody who could not believe God for a complete healing like that all on her own. Do you know what important part you play in people getting what they need in the house of God? Simply by being here and pulling on the anointing of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. And so, again, if you have kids, you all know that you want your kids to feel the most safe and secure and confident in your house, right? There would be something wrong if your kids didn't want to be in the home. And actually, you know, my kids go to a public school, and all the time they tell me about what little kids say. Well, I don't want to go home because of this reason or that reason. How many know it shouldn't be that way in the church? This is our Father's house. And just how we want our kids to run home, we need people to run into these doors when something's not going quite right. Why? Because we know they can find God here. They know that if they come in here, they are going to make a connection with the presence of God. They're going to make a connection, hallelujah, with His word, and it'll grow on the inside of them. It'll strengthen them. It'll help them. Praise God. And so there would be something wrong if our kids didn't want to run home. We have, you know, the three little ones. My youngest is a boy, and he just learned to ride his bike this summer. Well, earlier this spring. And it's been interesting and funny. You like to watch people falling off of bikes? I like it. It's funny. And so here he goes, gangbusters down the street. I got it. And then he wipes out. I mean, my husband can explain it better than me. He hit his head, his arm, his elbow, his knees, his legs. He was bleeding everywhere. And a man, my husband is a man, being the man he is, he's like, get up. Let's do it again. And you know, he wants to run inside though. Why? He knows who's got the Band-Aids. Gotta tell you, when you're hurt, don't run down the street. Don't run out of the doors where the Band-Aids are. Run into the house where the Band-Aids are, where you can be helped. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever been rubbed the wrong way in the house of God? Right here, talking to myself. Well, that doesn't mean that you just leave. Amen. You got to know where your safety comes from. Glory to God. And so another thing about my children, and when you have them, you just talk about them a lot. But in my house, they know a few things. Number one, breakfast is going to be ready for them at the kitchen bar, because we are not with it enough yet to have a sit down around the table every morning with real dishes. It's like plastic, paper, at the counter. And so I line those three up, and they know it's 7:30 and you've got X amount of time. You've got 15 minutes for this breakfast, and if you don't eat it, it's going in the trash and you're going to school. I mean, that's what's happening. And so they just try to get away with it a few times. And I'll just put it in the trash and send them to school. And they're not going to starve to death. They're going to have lunch at school. Some of y'all are like, that's so mean. You know you have done it. Some of y'all just throw Pop-Tarts at them when they're going out the door, don't you? We have these backup baggies of Cheerios in our cabinet. So if we're running too late, they just get them on the way out. I love you. God, do what you can with the Cheerios. And so anyway, they know that we're going to eat that at 7:30. They're going to eat lunch around noon at school every day. And the nights that we get to eat at home together, we're going to eat around 7 o'clock, 7:30 at the table, sit down all together. And they also know this. I cook one meal. There are 5 people in my family, but I am not cooking 5 things. Be happy, I'm cooking one. And if green beans are on the plate, guess who's eating the green beans? Every one of us is eating the green beans. And we have had those nights, I'm sure all of you have had, where green beans are coming out in liquid form and running down. We've just decided you got to be able to outlast the kids, people. Outlast the kids. And so anyway, they know this is what you're eating. And if you don't want it, that's fine. Saran wrap's going on that puppy. It's going in the refrigerator and happy breakfast. I mean, you're going to learn to eat them one day, one way or another. And they've learned their lesson, because now, even though they don't want them, they'll just shove them down, big spoonfuls at a time with a lot of water, and they just get it down. Well, how many of you know God has already set up some times for you to be fed? On Sunday morning and on Wednesday night and during your life groups or your connect groups or whatever you had, he has saying, it's dinner time, it's supper time, it's eating time. I've got something prepared for you in the house of God, and all I need you to do is pull up to the table. And if you don't like it, you're going to have to learn it eventually. There's this thing that the Lord does. He gives you like these tests, and if you don't pass them, he doesn't necessarily fail you. He just says, you can take it again and again and again. And you got, 65-year-old people in kindergarten, but that's all right. He'll just keep working with you. Take it again. What is that? I'm just going to eat my green beans one day. I'm just going to eat them. And so God's called us to a place, and he tells us where we need to be fed. And it's really never been our decision to make anyway. Do you know that God calls people, and he pulls at people's hearts to get them where they need to be? How many of you can lift up your hand in this room tonight and you say, this is my home church, and I know this is where I need to be. This is where God sent me. Then I want to tell you this. You should get your nourishment and your food from this house more than you get it from anywhere else. Amen? Oh, if you agree with it, just shout real big amen. Amen. There you go. Woo, feels like home now. 1 Kings 17. I just want to read verses here. You guys are like, no, not a few chapters. Don't do it. A few verses. 1 Kings 17. This is probably a pretty familiar passage here. It's about the prophet Elijah. And he was a pretty amazing prophet of God, one of my favorites in the scriptures, actually. And I just want you to notice something. We're going to start at 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and read down through verse 6. And it says this, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. And then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook near where the Jordan enters. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. Now in the King James, it says this, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. To feed you there. So Elijah did as the Lord told him, and he camped beside the brook east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and each evening, and he drank from the brook. I want you to realize this. God told him exactly where to go, and then he told him, your provision is going to be there. Your nourishment is going to be there. Why is this important? Well, if you know anything about the story of Elijah, he was being chased by people who wanted to kill him most of his life. And this is just after a major contest that he had. And God said, I have a place of safety prepared for you, a place of nourishment for you, a place that I'm going to deliver to you exactly what you need to make it through what you're going through. And I feel that the Lord told me to tell you tonight, if you will get to that there, and y'all just raised your hand, this is my place. If you will get there, he will bring you what he needs you to have. And he will feed you in the morning, and he will feed you at night. And when the rest of the world looks like it's in drought, and it looks like people are going under all around, and it looks like people aren't going to make it, you're going to make it, because he has nourishment. He's got water when there's drought all around. He's got exactly what you need, and he will feed you. Well, how does he do it? Well, he gave you a pastor. He gave you pastors. And he said, I'm going to give them a word. What does a pastor do? Well, they feed the sheep. They feed them. I mean, there are so many times that I would like to take credit for so many things that I just can't take credit for, because there have been times when I've been on my face praying and it just felt like I wasn't getting the answer I needed. And then I came to church and somebody preached a word, usually my husband. He preaches something. And I just sit there like, oh, good Lord, there's my answer right there. That's exactly what I've been praying about, and he just made it seem so easy. What happened? That's where my nourishment came from. It's not that you don't pray at home, and y'all know that I'm not saying that. It's not that you can't hear from heaven in your prayer closet. You can, and you certainly should. However, there is an anointing that is in the house of God that you can't get at home alone. Do you believe that? I don't know about you, but I've been home and I've been praying with all my might and singing, and I have never had anybody come up and start playing all these instruments. Never a drummer showed up in my house. Never some real good praise and worship leaders came and did the things I could never do with my voice. It just never felt like that in my room. What is that? It's the corporate anointing. There's something special when we come together that's not happening anywhere else. Do you remember the family when you were young that had the fun house? Do you remember them? Everybody wanted to be at that house because that was the fun house. They usually had a lot of kids or a lot of games, or like where I was from up north, you know, they'd have like, what are those, four-wheelers and big property out back, because that was a big deal for people who lived in the city to go out and like play outside. And so we always wanted to be at their house. Why? Because we just thought it was the best thing going. Well, my prayer and my heart has been this: God, let your kids know that in your house, the best thing that is happening in this world, it's happening in your house. That they'll be so excited about it that everybody that comes in contact with them just says, what's going on with you? I got to get where you go. And they'll say, come on to my house. Amen. Do you know, of all three of my kids, my youngest Jude, he just was filled with the Holy Spirit Saturday night before Easter. And he's 5.5 years old, and I have three. The oldest is 9, then 8, and then 5.5. And I've asked the Lord, could I please pray with them to be filled with the Spirit every time? And the answer was obviously no, because they didn't get it when I prayed for them. But they did get it in church when their children's pastor prayed for them. And then the other one got it in the nursery at 4, walking around like this. And I get a call, please come to the nursery. Your daughter just got filled with the Spirit. So I thought it was over until Saturday night before Easter. The Lord heard my cry. But the thing is, there's such fantastic things that happen in the house. So I want to encourage you tonight to really think about how you've been changed and transformed in this place. How you've heard a word from heaven. Yes, it came through the lips of a man or a woman, but I'm telling you, you knew in your spirit it was from the mouth of God for you. That's why you can be sitting in a room full of people and the word can come and it'll just cut you on the inside. And you're like, oh, that was just God. Oh, you're paying attention just to me right now. And guess what? He is. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so many times, people ask this question, and I'm sure it's no one in here tonight because y'all are here. But those other church people who aren't here tonight, let me ask this question. How many of you have ever heard people say things like this? And maybe not even about this church, but I just don't get what I need in church. I mean, it's just not really my cup of tea. And they don't realize, or they want to, you know, those, we call them like the twice a yearers, Easter and Christmas, right? We had a big one on Easter, I'll tell you that. But, you know, people get to the house of God and they're always real happy. The altars are full at Easter and Christmas and everybody's so excited. And then, you know, they just kind of have these different reasons why they don't get back. And here's the issue. The Lord's saying, you know, you're saying you're hungry. You're saying you need something from me. But I told you, I'll feed you there. And if you won't get there, you don't get fed. That's like laying in your bed craving a cheeseburger and you just won't drive to, you know, Five Guys or whatever it is. You're just not going to drive to get a burger, but I really want a burger. I'm telling you what, if you want a burger bad enough, you're going to get up, get some clothes on, you're going to drive there, and you're going to get a burger. I know some of y'all have done it. Maybe right before church tonight. Because we do what we really want to do. And so the sad thing to me is so many times, and we know this personally, we've seen different issues, you know, people struggling with something or people just having a difficult time with their family or their children or in life or with their finances or their business. And there'll be a word of God come forth and I turn around and I start looking for people. Because not because I want to be like, oh, it's, they're talking to you. No, I just want to, I'm excited. Like, God's meeting your need. We know what you're dealing with, and God's trying to get a word to you, and they're not there. And it's like God's dropping off exactly what they need, meat from heaven right in their seat, and there's piles of food waiting for them, but they're not there to get it. And they're just starving to death spiritually. Because no matter how wonderful your private study time is and your private prayer time is, I'm just telling y'all, there is something so fantastic about getting together with other people and connecting together and connecting to God and knowing that you are in a family. There's something really good about that. Amen? Praise God. And so you do need to recognize where your house is. And when you recognize it, then you just got to get connected. Well, how do I get connected? Well, I'll tell you this. You just ask your pastor. First of all, it'd be a great place to start. But if you walk by the nursery, heaven forbid, we don't like, the nursery is like a curse word in the church. The nursery, I don't do that. My kids are older. I pray, you can ask my husband, I pray especially for our nursery volunteers. I mean, I pray for them. And I asked the grandmothers in the house, I'm like, you know how to rock a baby and pat a bottom, don't you? I'm not asking you to get up and run around. Can you sit in a rocking chair? Because if you will sit in a rocking chair, you just do one service and then you come into church the next service and you just pat that behind. And I make sure they know how much I appreciate them, because when you got three that went through it, you're like, thank God somebody else is going to pat that baby for the next 2 hours. But you got to get connected. And here's the thing. You can find yourself being so blessed because of what you're given into the house of God. Because I guarantee you this. If you take care of the house of God, God is going to take care of your house. If you meet somebody else's need, he is going to meet your need. You can write it down. You can stamp it as good. Because if you make it happen for someone else, he'll make it happen for you. This is his house. He cares what happens in this house. You could be an usher. You could be a greeter. You could be a parking lot attendant. You could work in the sound. Don't just do this without permission. You know what I'm saying, right? Don't just show up in your orange vest Sunday. I'm ready. Go through the training. Please don't come on the platform and sing. Sweet Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. So get connected. Pull up your seat at the table, and you just start to partake. And I'm telling you, I've never seen people grow any faster than when I've seen them come into the house, get right with God. They show up at every single service. They show up at every single prayer meeting. Well, that just seems like too much, and it may be too much for you. I'm not saying you have to do every single thing. I am just saying the more you make time for God, the more he can make things happen for you. It's just the way that it is in his kingdom. Amen. And so this is not just something, you know, that God suggests. We all know that it's really something he commanded us to connect together. And in the New Testament, we've been commanded to do so many things together. He said, I want you to meet together, pray together, praise together, worship together, rejoice together, eat together. Amen. Fellowship together, serve together, win victories together. And that's just a few that you do together. So many times he said, now you get to your company. That means there are some that are your company, and there are some that are not your company. That's a whole nother message, though. Amen. And so we're going to do these things together. Hebrews 10:25, it's a really familiar passage, but I just want to read it to you real quick. And it says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming back? You know, my kids always ask me, well, when is he coming? And I said, well, quicker than he was yesterday. Okay. We've actually had, you can ask my husband, it's so funny, we've had rapture practice in our house. Like when Jesus comes, how are you going up? And Jude's like, you know, Batman, or what is his name? Superman? Who does that? You know, the cape? They all have capes. Superman, I think. And the girls, you know, they've got all these ways. I'm going to flip in. I'm going to fly in. You know, whatever. If Mo and my daughter says, if you're lighter, do you go quicker than if you're heavier? I said, I don't think it matters anymore, baby. Everybody's going to be perfect size when we get to heaven. Amen? And so I looked the scripture up in the Strong's Concordance because it's just one of my favorite books to read. I love the Strong's because, you know, it's like the woman's guide to the Bible because it has so many more words. And it's got full meaning and it can express things clearly. And praise the Lord. And this is what it means, not forsaking. It says, do not abandon, desert, leave in straits, leave helpless, or leave behind. The assembling. A gathering together in one place, as in the assembly of Christians. Exhorting, to call to one side, comfort, instruct, admonish, and strengthen, and to teach. And he said, do it so much more as of quality and of time. To a greater degree, much by far, more willingly, more readily, and sooner. As you see the day approaching, means joining one thing to another. To come near to or to approach. And so what I do sometimes just for myself is I will take the Strong's meetings and I will type it up on an index card of a scripture that I really like and I'll put it in my Bible. And this one I usually keep in my Bible. And basically this is what Hebrews 10:25 here would be saying. We are not to abandon and leave as helpless Christians gathered together in the church. But we are to call them to our sides and comfort them and strengthen one another, both in quantity and with our time. We are to get together in greater degree, more willingly, be ready and be quick about it. We are to join one another and connect one another to Jesus who is coming soon. Isn't that good? We connect one another together. Have you ever, you know, just had a bad day and you've just been down and you've tried to encourage yourself in the Lord, but this day it just didn't happen for you? I've had those too. And I've had somebody call me or text me and just say, I've been praying for you and this is what I've been praying. Do you want to get together? And I'm like, yes, yes, and yes. So we'll meet up at the church and just get two or three women together and we'll just hold hands and we'll start praying and it's like heaven came down. And I don't even remember why I was sad anymore. Amen. What happened? Well, I quit being alone and I got back together. Why is it important to not be alone? We know John 10 talks about that we have a shepherd and the importance of a shepherd and that there are sheep. He is to shepherd the sheep. But it also talks so much in John 10 about the flock of believers being together. And there's never one time, you can study it out for yourself, but never a time in the scripture that I can find where a sheep or a believer went aside from the flock that he was safe. You've never found where one separated from his company or from his flock went outside and was safe. It's always dangerous. That's why the scripture says, wouldn't a good shepherd leave the 99 and go out after the one? Why? Because they know what's out there. So they go after him. And so I spent really the good part of a day looking at this because 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great adversary, the devil, who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. My translation, the New Living, says seeking someone whom he may devour. Why? Well, I believe this is why, and y'all don't laugh at me. I got on the Wildlife Foundation website. And I wanted to find out why, you know, because the Lord uses sheep for a reason. He uses the lion for a reason. And there's so much in the scripture. And these are, okay, it might be funny, but when I start reading it, you'll understand. Tips to help you avoid conflicts with a lion. How many of you know the first one is just stay away from where the lion lives? Like, number one, if you know where those jokers live, don't go there. But this is the first thing they said. Stay in a group. Lions will not attack people in a group. That's interesting, isn't it? And then it says, don't assume because you can't see them that they aren't there. Pay attention to your surroundings. Then it says, number three, young children need to stay very close to you because they are the most susceptible to attacks. Isn't that interesting? That's a whole good lesson on like discipleship. Praise the Lord. Number four, if you see a lion, do not run. The lion will view you as prey, and he will chase you. And if he attacks, stand your ground. Make yourself look as big and as threatening as possible. Wave your arms and throw sticks in his direction. How many of you going to be remembering this? Be aggressive. Hit at him and try to fight him off, because lions don't like prey that fight back. Big old lion, little old person, but if you start fighting, that thing's likely to turn and run. Why? Because the devil is a wimp. He's a wimp. Hallelujah. And then it says this. What lions look for in their prey. Number one, they pick out the weakest and the most distant animal in the group. Lions are very strong, but they lack stamina, and they will not chase for a long distance. So what do they look for? Someone who looks weak and distant from the other animals. Lions always get close to prey before pouncing on them. Have you ever seen that with somebody that you love, and you've seen them kind of make their distance, and you're like, please get close. Please come back closer. Please get back to the, why are you, you just want me to be at church. You're right. I do just want you to be at church. I'm trying to keep you. And it says lions prefer prey weighing between 700 and 800 pounds. Everybody say, phew. But they will avoid animals in that preferred weight because they live in large herds. They are good at spotting lions, and they will fight back. How many of you know that when you're in the church, there is some sort of safety? And when people come at one of us, I'm telling you, I've told my husband at times, if I know the devil's after somebody in my congregation, I'm like, oh, he's about to be done. We're rolling our sleeves up. I'm from Detroit. I'm going to teach this devil something. You put him up, Joker. Why? Because when you're in the world, it doesn't matter who your company is. I mean, they're not going to fight for you. When the lion comes, those jokers are out of here. But we're not afraid. Hallelujah. And when we know that when we come together in his name, he's there in our midst. Amen. And so we're not fighting alone. We're fighting with him. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And there is more victory when we come together. There's more anointing when we come together. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. How many of you believe that God's called you to this place? You're going to get connected. You're going to find your place, and you're going to serve, and God's going to increase you more and more. Amen. Would y'all lift your hands up to heaven and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time in your presence. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you've called us into a family. Father, you are not leaving us alone, but you've called us in. You said we're your sons and we are your daughters, and you have joined us together, Father. And because you've joined us together, we won't fight to separate. We won't lose our way, Father God. We won't run from your house, but we will run to your house, because we know where our provision, we know where our nourishment, we know where the safety is. And we love you tonight, Father. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for everything that you have planned for us in our future. If you agree with that, shout amen. 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 God bless you.